I want to thank my guest, Reverend Teresa Smallwood, joining us this morning. Ma'am, first off, it's good to speak with you. How are you this morning?
I'm well, and I'm so happy to speak with you as well.
You know, the subject of marijuana legalization is kind of interesting, but before we get to that, I think we need to know a little bit of background about you. I mean, you started off, I said Reverend Teresa Smallwood, but you were a special, you were a prosecutor in the Carolinas.
Absolutely. I did that for several years, and it is my prosecutorial background that really brings me to this work.
You left Carolina and you came to Chicago. Why?
I actually left Carolina and went to Washington, D.C., and there I spent a few years getting my Master's of Divinity. And once I got the Master's of Divinity as a woman in the Baptist Church, the Black Baptist Church, it was very clear to me that I needed more investigatory work in order to really be an impact within the context of church life.
And you know,
so I came here to Chicago to get a PhD in theology, ethics, and human sciences.
That's interesting, you know, because here I was just kidding about this yesterday. You know, that we were talking about gambling yesterday and gambling machines. And I was talking with the Gambling Association, and I told the gentleman, you know, I grew up in a Baptist home, and we weren't even allowed to have Monopoly because it had dice. Right? And so here we are, two good Baptists. Well, you know, you're a good Baptist. Me, I'm on the margins, but that's why we're here. saying that, you know, marijuana is a good idea. I mean, a lot of people would be legalizing marijuana. A lot of people would be scandalized by it, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely.
I mean, what are the thoughts here? I mean, there's the revenue, but when you're talking to a person with a theological background, money's not the takeaway when it comes to something like this.
No, it really isn't. What I see and what I know from my experience is that in this country, we have a tremendous capacity to overthink things. For instance, you know, many, many years ago, we had issues with whether or not alcohol should be legalized. And eventually, alcohol won out. It became not only legalized, but federalized. To the tune of ABC stores in many states. But the reality is a lot of people trip over the issue of consumption, and they don't look at the issue of other sociality that it's impacted. So if we have an issue of how it is that marijuana is enforced, and we start to look at numbers where certain oppressed populations are much more impacted than others, there needs to be adjustment. More importantly, however, when we consider the behavioral implications and we look at other things that are happening across the board when it comes to the criminalization of certain substances, marijuana pales in comparison to alcohol, for instance. But more to the point, it has become now one of those things that is so readily available that it clogs our system in a way that even though we know resources are being hurled into the court system for the purpose of dealing with the impact, what we haven't looked at is the bigger picture as to how that impact really makes no difference. For instance, we clog our dockets with all of these cases. We have nowhere to marshal and corral the people. And as a result, the system gets bogged down with these petty offenses that ultimately keep us from dealing effectively with real crime, with the crimes that matter to human beings, to families, to systems. And so governmentally, this is an administrative decision to do something that will relieve the system of its clog in ways that really matter, and at the same time free up our law enforcement to do the job it was meant to do, to keep our communities safe and to give ourselves a better hand on how we handle today's problem.
You know, there's
moreover,
there's a basic principle, I think, Reverend Smallwood. You know, I really like people who can revisit a decision and go, you know what, I think we made a mistake. And
Absolutely. And
that's kind of what I'm hearing. And maybe at this point we've made this mistake for a long time, but it's time now to reprioritize because that error has come to a critical mass.
Oh, I think you have said that much more eloquently than I could. And I really do agree wholeheartedly with how you present that. Because the era is about the systemic change that has to happen, given all that we are up against when it comes to what is criminal in this country. And when you talk systemic, listen, this is across the board, across the nation. But each state has the ability to relieve itself of its overcast. And right now, while we're starting on this wrong, there are many, many changes that need to happen. Because if we're going to be prepared for what the world needs us to do as a state, we have to begin to take control and to really, really prioritize the things that have been happening. Violence is huge in Illinois. Violence is huge across the nation. But so much of what we do administratively through the criminal justice system, if we don't revamp, we can't keep up with the demand.
What about the idea that marijuana is a gateway drug? Because, you know, you could say the same thing about alcohol, and you and I both know that there are some gateway components. We just grow up and we progress, and, you know, some people will say, well, if a little's great, then a whole lot must be better. But if we made it legal, would it stop it from being a gateway to illegal drugs? Because there's that forbidden fruit syndrome, boy, especially when you're young. I can't have that when I want it twice as much. I mean, there's a lot of social ramifications in this that you've alluded to, and there are so many, it's almost hard to separate them.
Well, there are some social ramifications, and I must be the first to acknowledge that that is true. However, what we have learned from the statistics, and this is something that might blow people's minds, is that access is not affected upward. It's affected downward. When something becomes legal, the trend is, and the statistics bear this out, not only with alcohol, but with other substances and with other things that could be compared comparably. When they become legal, the access goes down. It's at that moment, though, where regulatory compliances really kick in. And what we have then is a better capability to really manage access. See, when we have a black market in anything, there's no ability to know who's getting what, when, where, or how. But once it becomes legal, then it becomes something that we can actually manage better. And that's why the concept of the gateway, we've seen that really is a misnomer. It does not bear out statistically that marijuana leads to the use of other drugs.
But, you know, getting it underneath the tent, the ability to regulate, the ability to tax, the ability to control, the ability to control over 21. And, you know, and then one of my questions is, what do you do with all the people that are in Illinois jails who have created an offense if we legalize, and what do we do with them about getting them out of jail? I mean, there's a lot of different questions here, and I wish we had more time. So, you know, you and I need to talk again sometime soon, because I really enjoy people who educate themselves who just simply filled with rhetoric and no base. So I enjoy speaking with you. I don't hear it very often, to be honest with you, Reverend Smallwood. A lot of people come out and say it's because it's what I think, and what I've heard what I've heard from you today is because this is what I've learned. And there's a distinct difference between those two items in today's media presentation. Well, this is how I feel. Well, you know, I'm really not sure anybody's going to feel. But what we know is definitely something that we can start making decisions on. I really do appreciate your time.
And I thank you for your time and your preparedness. You have been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you, Reverend Smallwood.